Mo, come here, buddy. You're going to be in the movies.
And the person interviewing me wrote those words down, looked up from his piece of paper and said to me, "So do you think we're going to like that?"
Yeah, I do what I do today, Kathy, because of a fourth grade field trip.
No credit to me, just me fumbling along with what I knew at the time and the dog being very forgiving of my mistakes.
The joys of an instant gratification society. We want everything. We want everything faster. Fast food, same-day dry cleaning, 10 days to a beach body, the perfect dog in a week or less, and instant relationships. There's no patience anymore. Oh my God, have I become that "hey kids, get off my lawn" lady? I think that may actually have happened. Well, the topic for this week is less about patience than it is about the fact that there just aren't shortcuts. I mean, sure, are there some things that you might be able to do more expediently, more efficiently? Sure. But some things just take time, and that's not a bad thing. Things like having a dog that's well-behaved. Things like growing plants in your garden. And things like meaningful relationships. Here's the kicker. With all the studies that have been coming out lately about how miserable most people on the planet are, how lonely, how isolated, how cut off, the antidote that study after study has shown is that the path to a more fulfilled life is to have more meaningful relationships. I was catalyzed to this by a post from a friend the other day who posted an article, and that article caught my attention because I could see the shortcut that a lot of people would think it might be. So let's get to it. I'm Kathy Brooks, and this is Talk Unleashed. Oh, I really do love a hammock. Hammocks stretched between two trees, underneath branches that are increasingly thick with green leaves. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the green mist at the top of the trees that I thought my eyes were blurry because the tops of the trees just looked kind of smudgy. Turned out it was tiny, tiny, tiny little buds of leaves. I gotta tell you, in the time since then, this landscape has transformed. You know, the woods were just trunks, branches, twigs and sticks, browns and beiges, as far as the eye could see. And now it's thick with green. And I've been told that this isn't even nearly as far as it'll go. It's going to get thicker and fuller and thicker still. The first wave of flowers, the cherry blossoms, the magnolias, most of those have given way to thick, glossy leaves. The rhododendrons haven't come in yet. The roses are still waiting. The next wave of color will pop soon. It feels in a way like it's come really, really quickly. That we had a couple days of rain and I looked outside and all of a sudden everything was green. But the truth is that it's been weeks in the making. Who knows how long it had begun before I even started to notice that vague mist across the top of the trees. Time takes time. Growing things takes time. There's a patience to it, a course of events. You can't hurry it up. It is what it is. And I'm thinking about that today because I saw a post from a friend. It was a link to an article. Ask these 8 questions for better relationships. The point of it being, people ask that basic question, "So how are you?" And it's, you know, a question that people usually answer with "fine," kind of shrug off or give some sort of pat answer. And the idea is that if you want deeper relationships, you have to ask better questions. So I don't disagree with that fundamentally. I mean, engagement, curiosity, connection, these are the core elements of engaging and connecting with another human being. But it's not just really about the questions that you ask. It's about the way that you ask them. It's about the place you ask them from. And if you're asking from a place of superficiality, the question's not going to land. I mean, there have been plenty of times I've been sitting with somebody and they are feigning curiosity. Now, whether that's because they really don't give a shit and aren't interested in learning more about me, or whether they're too uncomfortable with themselves to be vulnerable enough to ask a legitimate question, I couldn't tell you, but my guess is that it's probably more the latter than the former. People are uncomfortable with vulnerability in a really big way, and I will hold my hand up and say, I am one of them. And I'm talking real vulnerability. It's easy. Here I am. I'm talking to a microphone. I'm laying in a hammock under the trees. You're faceless to me. I think of you. I actually have a number of you in mind as I am speaking. So I am speaking to you. But it's like a phone call. There's a safety in it, an anonymity in it. Just today, I was having a Zoom chat with a new friend who's become very quickly a very dear friend. And I was sharing about something I was going through, and I was really uncomfortable. And I became acutely aware of how vulnerable and uncomfortable I felt. Nothing to do with her. In fact, if anything, the gracious and powerful and kind way that she just held the space and sat there quietly with me was really pretty remarkable, especially given that we don't know each other very well yet. Because what I wanted to do as I was sharing the story, what I wanted to do was cry, and I couldn't let it happen. It's like it was stuck. And so being curious about other people is really amazing and powerful. And yes, be curious. Ask the questions. And my invitation for you is maybe ask yourself the questions first. How comfortable are you? How uncomfortable are you? What if these questions were being asked of you? How raw can you be? Now, obviously, I'm talking about the kinds of conversations which are typically more personal, perhaps, than professional. They're in a different kind of context. But let's pull out a little bit here and think about this through the lens of professional engagement, of the people who you spend, in some cases, more time with than you do with your closest friends and family. Maybe even your partner or your immediate loved ones. When you see a coworker or a colleague who's in an uncomfortable space or clearly going through something, do you ask? And it doesn't have to be to dig into something personal. It could simply be to say, hey, I noticed that you're not quite yourself today. Is everything okay? Is there something going on that I can support you with? Would it help you to talk about something? Sometimes just being seen and noticed, sometimes that's enough to help someone shift out of a dark space, just to know that they're seen. And you can't rush it. You know, if I'm baking a cake and it says to bake for an hour at 350, turning the oven up to 425 doesn't mean the cake is going to be done sooner. Baking a cake takes as long as it takes. Paint is drying on the wall. It takes as long as it takes. Now, there are some theories that you could accelerate the paint drying on the wall by, you know, blowing it with hot air, but it's not going to set the same way. It takes as long as it takes. It takes time. And it's about being patient and curious. When I was thinking about this list of questions, I think the thing that really also came up for me, to be perfectly honest, is the society that we live in that just wants to do everything so fucking quickly. And I speak to this from the perspective of the dog education and behavioral consulting work that I've been doing. There are books like 1 Week to the Perfect Puppy, Solve Leash Pulling in 5 Days. Hate to break it to you folks, it's all a load of horseshit. Now, could I walk into a house and very likely get that dog to stop pulling on the leash pretty quickly? Sure, especially if I'm on the other end of the leash. Because it's not about the leash. It's about the person who's holding it. It's about the relationship that person has with the dog and who that dog believes they are and where they fit in the family. Without leadership, without a clear structure, 5 days ain't gonna solve your problem. Neither is a week. There's no shortcut. There's no easy button. There's this image I remember seeing in someone's office, and I've seen it again recently online somewhere. It's a ballerina on point, and on one of her feet is a toe shoe. Beautiful pink satin, graceful ankle, just beautiful. The adjacent foot, however, does not have a toe shoe on it. It is in point, and you get to see what the years of practice and hard work so that that ballerina may stand on point has done to her feet. They're blistered. You can see maybe even one of the toes is broken, mangled, calloused. Underneath all of that pretty exterior that makes the dancers who make it look so effortless, underneath all of that is an enormous amount of work and practice and consistency. I'm about 6 weeks into a 12-week training program with one of my dogs, Ruthie. My mini Aussie. She'll be 3 in August. It's an intensive training program that I've put some of my other dogs through in the past, and it is the foundation for service dog work, canine good citizen certification, and just basically having a dog who's not an asshole. It also, she's a working dog, and so it's good to be doing this kind of work with her because it gives her brain something to do. The point is, I was doing some work the other day with her, and someone was noticing how well she is healing and coming when called. I'd like my dog to do that, they said. I said, well, I'm 7 weeks into a 12-week program. And they said, oh, well, isn't there a way to do it faster? I've been recording some of our training sessions in time lapse. So a 10 to 15 minute session is seconds of video. And it shows the repetition over and over and over and over again as I'm shaping her sit, shaping her recall, shaping her heel, shaping her down, her stand, her stay, over and over and over and over and over again. Even once we're completed with this program, our work will never be done. We'll do training sessions regularly, multiple times a week. Sometimes just grab the leash and do it. Because the work is never done. When that ballerina has gotten her place in the ballet company and she's on stage in Swan Lake, she doesn't stop practicing. If anything, she practices more, has to maintain her edge, has to maintain her position. Olympic athletes don't just stop training once they've been accepted to the Olympic team. If anything, they train more. And so back to relationships. Once a relationship is established, it doesn't stop. It's constantly growing because we're constantly growing. We're constantly growing and changing, evolving, growing new branches and leaves. And then the seasons come and the leaves fall and the branches come off. And then the next season they grow again.
There are no shortcuts.
We did it again. Another episode of Talk Unleashed. It's so great to have you here. And you know what would be even more great? If you could scoot over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, maybe even Spotify, and leave a review. Over on Apple, you actually have the chance to say a little bit about the episode. Spotify, just throw some stars on there, hopefully five. It helps us get seen and helps ensure that this conversation and conversations like it keep getting heard by the people who need to hear them. So do us a favor, hop on over and leave a review. And in the category of saying awesome things about awesome people, huge thanks to my producer, John McLean, and the team at Monster Sound and Picture. They are just the best. And if you've got ideas or questions or feedback, I read all the email that comes in, so feel free to toss a message to talkunleashed@gmail.com. That's talkunleashed@gmail.com. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, who you want to hear from, all the groovy stuff. And most of all, thank you. Thank you for listening, for being part of the conversation, and for keeping the conversation going. See you next week.